My. A couple of years ago, you can cut this off, Brother James. A couple of years ago, I was there preaching at the homes, and they have a big meeting every year and have several preachers in. I count it an honor that they invite me to come every year. Last year I went, and they rented me a brand spanking new Dodge Challenger to drive while I was there. And I believe the Lord was in that, amen? But while we were there that first year, they brought a young girl in. And I stood on the porch and I watched as they pulled up, and Brother Mac was telling me what was going on. And there was another pastor there, and this girl was actually out of his church. And I watched them literally drag this little girl. I mean, she was just a little girl. They just literally drug her out of that car. And I stood there for a minute, and there's a part of me thought, man, they've been a little rough on her. And I watched her drag her in. They brought her in, Brother Freddie, kicking and screaming. And I began to watch as the meeting started, and she was as hard as a brick and cold as a cube of ice. And I began to watch through the week as the Lord began to deal with her heart and soften her heart. By the end of the week, she wasn't kicking and screaming. She was singing and shouting. Sometimes they come fighting, but they leave serving the Lord. Amen? I just praise the Lord for it. If y'all got just a few minutes tonight, turn to Matthew chapter number, can't read my own writing. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Just shortly tonight, I just wanted to give you what I felt like the Lord had laid on my heart tonight. Usually when the Lord's dealing with me about something, I feel like I'm probably not alone. Amen? A lot of times when your pastor comes to the pulpit, he's not just preaching to you, he's preaching to himself. So if y'all allow me tonight, I'm going to preach to myself for a minute and hope that it helps some of y'all too. Matthew chapter number 16, famous verse of Scripture in verse number 18. Let's back up just a little bit. And they said in verse number 14, or Jesus asked them, whom do y'all say that I am? And they get down here all the way to verse number 16, and the Bible said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, we have this, this famous verse of Scripture, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love that verse of Scripture where the Lord said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I'm not here to kick the Catholic tonight, but I'm here to tell you that they are wrong when they say that the rock the Lord is talking about is Simon Peter. Simon Peter is not the rock that the Lord built the church upon. The rock that the church was built upon was the truth that Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Tonight, just for a brief introduction, I just want to say thank God for the church. Amen. Y'all all right tonight? Let me say it again. Thank God for the church. It was the church where I heard the gospel. It was the church where I heard how Jesus loved me. It was the church where I heard that I didn't have to die. Y'all, excuse me. And spend forever in hell. Thank God for the church. There is a lot of misconception about the church today and about what the church is supposed to be and about what the church is supposed to do. Are y'all listening? We're living in a day where church is a rock concert. Y'all all right? Church ain't the place for a rock concert. Church has become a place for a social gathering. And certainly we gather socially and we have a good time. But that's not what the church is. The church has more programs today than you can shake a stick at. People often come to church and they'll look at a church and say, what does this church have to offer me? What plans and what programs do they have for my family? That's the wrong mindset. We ought to come to a church and say, what do I have to offer this church? Don't leave tonight and say, Brother Eddie's against programs. I'm not. We have them. Are you listening? I'm not against programs. We have programs. We have a Biggest Loser club in our church. Believe it or not, a bunch of our, I'm trying to think of the right word, well-upholstered, overweight. They have a club trying to lose weight. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Are you okay? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a ladies group. There's nothing wrong with having a youth group. There's nothing wrong with outings and activities and picnics and roller skating or white water rafting or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But the church does not consist of the functions that we carry out. Let me just say, those are nothing more than extracurricular activities. Amen. Thank God for the church and what the church is supposed to be. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. It feels like I've swallowed a frog and he's crossed his legs. I don't know what's the matter with my throat. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Just two simple thoughts tonight and we'll baptize. I want to notice, first of all, the focus of the church. The focus of the church. My son and I, we're about to go on a big hunting trip. We've been planning this for a long time, and the fellow we're going hunting with said a lot of times you'll see a lot of big deer and they're out of bow range, so at least bring some good binoculars so that you can see the deer. If you can't shoot them, you can at least look at them. Amen. And I don't know, that may be a blessing and a curse. It's hard to see them and not. I'll be shooting arrows like that, like Hercules, arching them in. But anyway, I told Chase, I said, Chase, have you got some good binoculars? He's got high-dollar binoculars. I don't know where he got them, but anyway, he brought those things to me, and I thought, well, I'm going to check these things out, and I got them out of the case, and looking out the kitchen window there, I held them up to my eyes, and you know what I could see, Brother Charles? Nothing. I looked out the kitchen window. I mean, boy, here these are binoculars that probably worth $500 or $600. I mean, high dollar optics. I looked through them and I saw nothing. And I thought, man, these things are a piece of junk. Then I realized that right in the middle there's a little wheel, and as you roll that wheel, it brings those optics into focus where you can see. And as I got that thing into focus, I thought, wow. Man, that is amazing. I went out, we live by the power lines, and I went out, I don't know how far the power poles are apart, but they're a long way. And I looked three power poles down, and I could read the little square sign that hangs on the power line that says, danger, high voltage. Amen. Now, those binoculars cost a lot of money, but out of focus, Brother Freddie, they're not worth shooting. Amen. And I'm afraid when the church is in focus, she can see clearly and has great vision for the things of God. But I'm afraid the church today has gotten out of focus. Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Look up here just for a minute. Let me tell you what the focus of the church ought to be. It ought to be Him. Are you listening? It ought to be Him. It ought to be Him. People get mad when I make fun of a certain television preacher, and I won't even say his name tonight. I'll leave you guessing who it is. But I was curious about what kind of gospel this guy preached, and I was in a hotel room preaching somewhere and flipping through the channels, and boom, there he was, all his little smiling teeth and preaching to about 20,000 people, and I thought, what's he going to say? There's 20,000 people sitting there listening to this guy. They call it preaching. I call it a motivational speech. For 30 minutes, you know what he talked about? Fruits and nuts. White bread versus wheat bread. Honest before God, he talked about diet. Said a little prayer and it was done. Should you eat right? Yes, but that's not the focus of the church. By the way, I eat right too. I'm a health nut. Pork chops and biscuit and gravy. Amen. I was in Pennsylvania this week, and Sister Alice cooked us a big old meal. I've never seen pork chops were that thick. She said, "How are those?" I said, "I've never seen a pork chop that wasn't battered. They cooked them like a steak. It was still good, but man, I want them battered. And then that where you fry them in that batter, I want to take some grease and put some milk and some flour in it and stir that around, pour that over a cat head biscuit. Now we're eating healthy." Amen. Somebody help me right there. I believe in taking care of yourself, but diet is not the focus of the church. The focus of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Our job is to magnify the Savior. You know what John said, John the Baptist, when Jesus came on the scene? He said, "I must decrease that he might increase." We're living in a world when man wants to increase. Look at me. Look at my accomplishments. Look what I've done. No, I want to tell you to look at Jesus tonight. Why? Because if you look at me, you'll find fault. If you look at the leadership of this church, you'll find fault. If you look at each other, you'll find fault. But if you'll get your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find nothing wrong. I'm saying when the church gets out of focus and we don't see the Lord clearly, we are taking the church in a wrong direction. And I know we've got visitors tonight, but I'm preaching to our people. As for the Happy Valley Baptist Church, our focus is not going to be on cell groups on Sunday night. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They don't have church on, they call it parachurch. I don't have a clue what that is. It means they call off church and the little groups meet up in different homes. I'm afraid that's dangerous. I won't go into all the reasons why. I believe we ought to have church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, the manner of some is. Hey, when our church gets together, we meet as a church, not a little clique somewhere. Amen. We okay? The focus of the church is not cell group. I stopped to look at a beautiful church building in Knoxville, Tennessee. Brother Tony Shirley and I were together, and I said, "Pull in, I want to see that building." And this guy started showing us through. He was an assistant pastor, and they had a big sign up on the wall advertising something. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, that's for our Sunday night cell groups." He said, "Do y'all have those?" I said, "Oh, yeah, we have cell groups. They just can't get out." Amen. Brother Chad, you got that, didn't you? Amen. We have some cell groups, but it's not by their choice. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is on Sunday night we have church, and what we do on Sunday night is what we do on Sunday morning. On Wednesday night we have church, and what we do on Wednesday night is what we do on Sunday night, and what we do on Sunday morning, we just point everybody to the Savior. Amen. I don't have the answer for all your problems, but the Lord does. With many today, their focus is on pleasing the crowd and not pleasing the Savior. We have seeker-friendly churches. Listen, our job and our focus shouldn't be pleasing the world, but pleasing the Savior. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which were lost. Hey, whether the world thinks we're crazy or not, I want Jesus to be pleased with what we do Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Wednesday night. Hey, this church is not about Eddie White. It's not about this group or that group. It's not about our ladies. It's not about our teens. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You take him out of the equation, and friend, we are in a flat-footed mess. We might as well take church off the sign and call it club. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. If that's what we're, if all we're going to do is meet and have a little religious experience, we've missed something. It wasn't a club that changed these boys' lives. It wasn't some club they joined that gave them the testimonies tonight. It was the fact that they got to somebody that pointed them to somebody who could help them. And it was the Lord. You say, "Oh, Brother Mac's doing a great job." No, I just think he's helping the Lord do a great job. Amen. 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 We can't take the credit for that. Listen, we must focus on him and pleasing him and him only. Amen. Would you agree to that? Yeah. The purpose of the church is to please the Lord. Now, we're going to baptize in just a minute. What pleases him? What pleases him? I don't think a bunch of long-haired hippies. With tongue piercings and eyebrow piercings, looked like they fell in a tackle box. Getting up, playing grunge rock and roll on a platform and doing it. And I don't believe that pleases the Lord. You say, well, I think it does. Well, believe what you want to believe. This is what I want to believe. This is my pulpit. I'm going to preach what I believe. Amen. You say, well, there can be Christian rock. Well, why can't we have Christian pot? Y'all all right? They just draw that little fish on it. Everything will be all right. Amen. That's the society we live in. Amen. I want a church that is pleasing unto God. I want to sing music that's pleasing unto God. I want to have preaching that is pleasing unto God. But I'm afraid we've allowed the world to dictate what we do, and the Lord looks back and says, I'm not happy with that. That's not what I had in mind. We want to take God and put Him in our box and make Him fit our lifestyle. Several years ago, I may get into more than I should. Several years ago, in the Blockbuster video, isn't it amazing they went bankrupt? Yeah. Right here in town in the Blockbuster video, as you walk through the door, they had a magazine rack. It was about as tall as that Lord's Supper table right there. And in that magazine rack, they had two publications, free papers. All you had to do is pick them up. I forgot what the one was, but I remember well what the other was. It was a magazine called The Southern Voice. On the front of it, Brother Greg, if you'll remember, was a picture about this big of Big Bird. Sesame Street Big Bird. Let me ask you a question. Who notices Big Bird? Are y'all okay tonight? Little boys and girls, they're this high off the ground. My grandson, 4 years old, walks in Blockbuster video and sees Big Bird magazine. He's going to pick that up. When you opened Big Bird magazine, what you found out, it was a gay and homosexual magazine, and it didn't have regular photos in it, but it had cartoons all through it of grown men and sexual acts. We did not protest homosexuality. We protested that publication. Are y'all okay? And it blew my mind what transpired from that. Y'all don't get upset with me. I had a gay pastor. Does those two words go together? If it meant happy pastor, I would say, okay, amen. I'm a happy pastor, but I'm not a gay pastor. Somebody say amen right there. Call me and invite me to meet him somewhere to fight. I didn't. There was a part of me that said, time and place, sir. But I didn't. Man, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? You've got to rip out parts of the Bible to make it fit your belief. Are y'all okay? I had one of the gay coalition at the West Georgia College. We met at the sheriff's or the police station right here. The police chief wanted to mediate between us. I don't know if he thought I was going to kill him or that guy's going to kill me. And he looked at me, the little guy, across, and he was sweet too. He looked over, he said, would I be welcome in your church? I said, sure. I said, anytime you want to come, you'd be my special guest. He said, why do you hate us? I said, I don't hate you. I just happen to have Big Bird in my hand. I laid it on the table and I opened it up. I said, do you think that's appropriate for boys and girls? He said, no, sir, I don't. I said, that's what I hate. Yeah. Guy hugged my neck before he left. Listen, we're not here to make Jesus fit our lifestyle. Amen. Jesus is here to make us fit His lifestyle. Yes. Yes. Amen. Jesus is here to make us more like Him and not to make Him more like us. Amen. That is the focus of our church. Hey, the Bible said, be ye not... conform, but be ye transformed. Hey, when we get saved, there's supposed to be a change inside of every one of these boys gave it. Don't they look sharp? Amen. Amen. It is refreshing to see a young man that'll go to church with a jacket and a tie on and his pants fit. I'm so sick of seeing boxer drawers, I've had it up to my eyeballs. I want to give a wedgie to every one of them I see. Just amen. Brother Todd, our son-in-law, he's a City of Atlanta police. He said they love it. He said they love them boys busting the sag. He said they can't run. They're holding up their britches. So they can catch them real easy, amen? Listen, the focus of the church has got to be the Lord, and it's got to be what He wants and what He loves. What does please the Lord? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Y'all got just a couple more minutes? I'm trying to hurry. I promise you, I'd love just preach something, make you shout and slobber and run the aisles, but this is what the Lord put on my heart tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to show you what pleases the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now we talked about our focus. Let's look at the function of the church just for a minute. And we've got it right here. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about people's lives being changed. People being saved and being born again. Paul said, I've watered, and Apollos, I've planted, and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. There is our job collectively as the church. Our job is not to entertain people. Our job is to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What good is it if I stand in a packed house on Sunday morning and tell you what is good for you to eat and will help you live to be a ripe old age and you die and go to hell? What good is that? What good is it if we get you into an exercise program, get your heart rate up, get your cholesterol cleaned out? I mean, boy, get you to where you can jog 5 miles, and you get you lifting weights and get you in great health, and then you die at 45 of cancer and go straight to hell. What good have we done? The function of the church, I'm not against those things, but they are byproducts of the main thing. And the main thing is that we reach people with the gospel of Christ. Amen. Amen. Did you know that every year in our parade, we have a parade, starts in our parking lot, ends in our parking lot. This year, there were less churches. Last year, I know, I didn't count this year. Last year, there were 11 churches in the parade. They have a little choo-choo train. I like it. They have their float made up of choo-choo train. They have several different things. I don't know what all. I ain't against none of them. I'm for them. Man, we pray for them. We pray with them. But our church carries that thing a step further. We preach the gospel in the parade. We hand out gospel tracts to everybody in this town. And some of us look at us and say, here come those nuts. No, we're just doing what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're just fulfilling the gospel commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The function of the church is to keep men and women and boys and girls out of hell. Would you agree? Amen. We are to keep people from dying and going to hell. And the only way we can do that is to preach to them the truth of Jesus Christ. That's our job. Our problem is we get focused and we major on the minors. Y'all okay? We got a big day coming up, but that's a minor. We got a big picnic and football games and I don't know what all we'll do. It's going to be a good time. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. But that's a minor thing. That's a minor thing. We have fellowship suppers. Those are great, but it's a minor thing. Our ladies have baby showers, and our ladies take food to the homes where women have had surgery, and we go in the hospitals, and we make visits, and we do all these things. But those are minor things. The main thing is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what pleases the Lord. Listen, it's a group effort. Amen. It's a group effort. In most churches, the church mentality is the preacher does the visiting. It's the other way around. Y'all okay? In churches like ours that have a great bus ministry, we lay it on the bus worker's shoulders to do all the visiting. But it is a group effort. Everybody can't come. Everybody can't go. But you know what? Some will visit while some can pray. Amen. If you can't visit, I promise you, you can pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what else you can do? You can invite people on your job. You can invite your family. Amen. We've all got a part we can do. It's a group effort. It's not who did the most. It's not a competition. Hey, listen. When you bring somebody to church, they come down this altar and they get saved, I got a part in that because I prayed for them. not only because I prayed for them, I had a part in it in putting my offering in the plate. By putting, I didn't drive a bus this morning. I didn't drive a bus. I didn't go out and visit on a bus route on Saturday. But you know what? I had a part in it. I helped put some gas in a bus. I helped pay insurance to keep a bus on the road. Hallelujah. I said it's a group effort. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. Then he come after right after that, and he said, but who is Paul? Who's Apollos? He said, we're nobody. It's God. Amen. We put all our efforts in the same basket, and God blesses it. He gets all the glory. Amen. One more verse of Scripture, and I'm done tonight. And here I want to leave you with this simple thought. I love the group effort. But that does not excuse us for our individual ministry. Can I ask you a question tonight while you turn into John chapter number 15? John chapter 15, and I'm done. What ministry are you in? What ministry are you in? I spent the week with Brother Tony Shirley, and we were talking about this, and I wasn't even planning on preaching this, but I just jotted down some things during our conversation. And the Lord put it on my heart tonight. He said this. He said he had a preacher come to his Christian school to talk with and work with their teachers and their staff. He came from Brother Paul Chappell's church out in California, and he said he took the guy out to eat. And while they were talking, the guy looked across the table at Brother Tony and said, can I ask you a question? Brother Tony said, sure. He said, how's your fruit? He said, sir? He said, how is your fruit? What are you producing? And Brother Tony started talking about this ministry and that ministry, and he said, no, brother, you don't understand. He said, how is your fruit? He said, I'm not asking you about the group effort. I'm asking you about you individually. Brother Tony said he really took me by surprise. He said, let me ask you another question. He said, I'm not talking about the people who walk the aisle when they hear you preach and get saved. He said, I'm not talking about the people who get on a bus and come and they hear the gospel for the first time and they trust Christ as their Savior. He said, I'm talking about the people that you brought in personally. Well, it got quiet. I expected it to. And Brother Tony said, I sat there and thought for a minute. And he looked back at the fellow and he said, sir, I'm too embarrassed to give you my answer. Thank God for the group effort. Thank God for the group effort. But what am I doing as an individual? Look at John chapter number 15, last verse of Scripture, and I'm done. John chapter 15 and verse number 16. The Lord said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He said he's ordained us that we'd go and bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. Would you agree with that? What is the fruit? Did somebody tell me? Souls being born again, brought into the body of Christ. Do you realize that not only I as the pastor, but you as a pew sitter, whether you're in leadership, if you've only been saved a week, we have a responsibility to tell somebody else about Christ. Brother Tony asked me this. He said, I want you to take away. He said, just think about it. He said, this is the way this guy put it to me. He said, I want you to take away everybody that's been saved in your church that was not a direct response of something you did. He said, how many would you be pastoring? He said, not only that you bring forth fruit, but that your fruit should remain. Wow, that means it lasts. It's one thing to go and invite a family member and say, hey, I want you to come to church, hear my preacher. They come to church and get saved, and that's it. That's not it. That's the beginning. Do you understand? Now, listen, and I'm preaching to my church tonight. Please, visitors, don't get upset with me. But do you understand that Brother Freddie, myself, Brother Atkins, Brother Charles, we cannot disciple everybody individually? There's no way. What I'm saying is each one of us, from the pulpit to the back row, need to take a personal interest. And need to make a personal investment in the lives of others. Why? That our fruit might remain. We had a fall program here a few weeks ago. One day was family day. One day, I believe Katie and Chase had about 2 pews full. They did good. One day was friend day. I forgot what all the different days was. I don't think we did very well. I'm not being judgmental. I just don't think we did very well. I don't think we put forth too big of an effort. As I pondered and I thought about what Brother Tony said, here's what I thought. I can do better. I can do better. Brother Stacy and I were talking about, and I've been on this kick for some time of going after my old buddies that I grew up with. Thank God I've got a couple of them here, and praise the Lord for that. They're serving God and they love God, but there's a bunch more of them out there. I went so far as to asking Stacy to find me a phone number. Stacy found me a phone number of a guy that God put on my heart. I hate to admit it tonight. I have not dialed that number yet. Wonder how I'd feel if I got a phone call in the morning. And I heard the name of the guy that I had the number for was in an accident and died. And God put him on my heart over a month ago. And I haven't contacted him yet. What are you saying? I believe that's my responsibility. Amen. Collectively as a church. Man, it's great. It's great to go out on visitation. It's great to have our bus routes. But don't forget you have a personal ministry too. I have a family. And I stay on them every chance I get about being in church. Thank God the ones that I've been on, they're saved. Or they say they are. And I praise the Lord for that. But I don't need to lose the fact just because I preach and on Sunday morning, Sunday night, just because I travel and the Lord uses my ministry, I don't need to take that for granted that that's the end of my responsibility. And the Lord hit me hard. I told you I'm preaching to me tonight. But I'm also preaching to you. Every one of us has a personal ministry. Hey, you don't have to have a nursing home ministry to serve God. You don't have to have a jail ministry like Brother Daniel and some of these guys, Brother Warren. You don't have to have a jail ministry to serve God. You could have a family ministry. You could have a co-worker ministry. You could have a teller at Walmart ministry, whatever. God puts us in contact with people day in and day out. How's your fruit tonight? The church. The focus of the church has got to be on Christ. Amen? The function of the church has got to be going out and winning people to Christ. We okay tonight? We all right? We may be all right with what we're hearing, but are we all right with what we're doing? Just give that some thought. No great preaching tonight, I know. Just a simple thought. Just a simple thought. How is your fruit personally? I wonder, within the next 12 months, we're about to come up on the year end, in 12 months' time, if each one of us who claim to know Christ as our Savior brought one to Jesus. Just one. Surely we could find in 12 months somebody that needs Christ. Surely. Just one. What would that do to our church? Double it, right? And that's not our goal, but it would double the church. Our goal is to keep somebody out of hell with the gospel of Christ. How is your fruit? I checked mine out, and I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm going to work on that. I promise the Lord I'm going to work on that. On my personal. I'm known as an evangelist. But I'm talking about personal evangelism. My personal witness. Amen. I can do better. I can do better. I bet you'll find that you can too. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to get ready and baptize in just a minute. But before they do, we're just going to have just a verse of invitation. Brother Todd, if you and Ashley and
Elizabeth, if y'all come, they're going to get ready and sing a little bit for us tonight. God's dealing with your heart. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you ask the Lord to help you? To have some fruit. Ask the Lord to help you to go out and get somebody. That they might know Christ. The free pardon of sin. God dealing with your heart, you come.